Hi, this is Serena, and I'm about to begin my commentary on the passage I read from Cynthia Ozick's Heir to the Glimmering World. The passage that I read touches on a whole host of ideas, all of which are discussed and dissected throughout the course of the novel. There is the issue of perceived class difference, Elsa's remembered wealth against James's undisclosed inheritance, and the irony of Elsa's knowledge of hotels far grander than the William Penn. There is the issue of time and the collision of past with present. What James perceives to be a mirror is actually a photograph, but it functions similarly to a bit of reflective glass in that it is a reflection of Elsa's past. The photo allows Elsa to bring her past into her present, her deceased mother into her New York bedroom. A more terrifying merging of time occurs when James's mere presence behind Elsa in the breakfast parlor brings to mind the persecution of her family and scares her into spilling the berries from her bowl. Although I will not directly address these issues any further in this podcast, it is my hope that we will have the opportunity to discuss them, and all the others that I have not mentioned, in our seminar tomorrow. What I would like to discuss, what lies at the very heart of the passage, is the concept of identity. In the span of 3 pages, identity is questioned, denied, and conferred. Outward identity, the identity of appearance, is presented as unstable, blinking in and out without warning. From Elsa's first perception of James as a dangerous man to James's pretense as a tutor and the false labeling of the silver frame, it becomes clear that true identity, if such a thing exists, does not reside on a surface level. We turn from questionable silver frames to Professor Mitwisser and his appropriation of the Karaites. By calling the Karaites Rudy's people and acknowledging them as unquestionably his, Elsa raises the possibility of an internal identity that can be constant and certain. However, the mere fact that Mitwisser has an entire life beyond the Karaites, a life in which he is a German immigrant with 5 children and a wife and a personal history that spans 2 world wars, brings his sense of identity into question. What has made his appropriation of the Karaites possible? To seize Rudi's people, Elsa says, one must first penetrate their languages, their writings, their beliefs, their history, their exclusions. Although this suggests that any identity can in fact be acquired, appropriated, made one's own, it also raises numerous questions as to the nature of appropriation. Does the vast and comprehensive study of a people automatically confer identity upon the scholar? And what of the identity Mitwisser possessed before he acquired his books? Is that identity now lost? He still refers to his children and worries about the absence of his daughter. Is he, in effect, occupying 2 spaces at once? Or is this the flickering Annalisa refers to on page 269? She says, "You cannot hold both images in your mind simultaneously." We must also ask whether or not it is possible to appropriate an identity without the aid of scholarly studies. This passage, particularly its conclusion, forces Elsa to contradict herself. When first explaining the nature of the Karaites and her husband's possession of them, she makes it very clear that one must follow a specific path, Rudi's path, in order to seize an entire people for one's own. However, she concludes the chapter by conferring upon James the Karaite identity. James, who has never once been given over to the scholarly study of anything, particularly not that of rabbis and such, page 206, is able, in one moment of monstrous burning, to appropriate an entire identity. He recognizes, in the Karaite's rejection of all that is not essence, his own burning need to return to a state of original existence, the existence that was usurped by his father's illustrations of him. In James's case, identity exists on an almost primal level of connection, and Elsa is forced to agree. This seems to suggest that identity can be appropriated regardless of personal history or accumulated knowledge. However, the issue of multiple identities remains. James, unable to fully shed his bear boy identity, ultimately rejects to the point of taking his life. Professor Mitwisser, pulled by the force of his identity as Annalise's father, and unable to prove the validity of his Karaites, ends up adrift, displaced by Bertram and the fruitlessness of scholarship. Only Elsa appears to overcome her crises of time and place. The absence of James is also the absence of a presence that forced her into the past, and her identity as a mother is returned to her when Annalisa seeks her help in raising a newborn. Elsa the physicist has vanished along with James, leaving only one identity for the present-day Elsa to contend with. For the moment, at the book's end, she is stable. So, at what point does the observer become the observed? Annalisa suggests that we are only able to take each other in flickeringly. But is this because we only exist in constant fluctuation? Identity to identity, history to history, understanding to understanding? If I were less optimistic about our capacity for the appropriation of things, I might suggest that we are all occupants of, and heirs to, a world of fireflies glimmering.